Are you fed up with the corporate bullshit holding you back? Welcome to Invest in Yourself, the digital entrepreneur podcast, the ultimate launchpad for those ready to seize control and unleash their creative genius as entrepreneurs. Hosted by Phil Better, the podcast mogul. Each episode, he's sharing inspiring success stories from the digital entrepreneurs who took the risk and invested in themselves. This is your call to arms. Invest in yourself, break free from someone else's rules, and build the empire you deserve. Now let's dive headfirst into today's explosive episode. That's today's...
Welcome back to another episode of Invest in Yourself, the Digital Entrepreneur Podcast, where we explore the bold ideas and brilliant minds shaping the future of entrepreneurship, marketing, and innovation. I am, of course, your host with the most Phil Better, the podcast mogul. And today's guest is rewriting the rules of what it means to lead in the digital age, not just with cutting-edge AI, but with something even more powerful, empathy. He's a trailblazer who spent the last 30 years, that's right, three decades, at the crossroads of marketing, media, and human consciousness. As the founder and the CEO of a highly respected digital media agency, he's helped brands grow with intention and authenticity. And now he's leading a new revolution with the launch of an empathetic-driven AI platform designed to make marketing more human. His philosophy, build love into scalable systems. That's not just a tagline, it's his mission, a movement, and a business blueprint for a better future. Throughout thoughtful interviews on his podcast and real-world innovation through his latest venture, he's helping businesses scale without losing their soul. So I want you to get ready for a conversation that blends heart, strategy, and the future of AI with none other than Stephen Sasquatch. Did I mess up the last name again?
Yeah, Stephen Sasquatch.
Sasquatch. Oh, always. Yeah. But yes, Stephen, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being apologetic with my failure of your last name. I'm happy to have you here.
No, it's don't worry about that. I've lived 55 years with that pronunciation going all over the place. But I'm happy to be here. Great conversation. I'm looking forward to this.
All right, Stephen, now that you're here, I'm ready to ask you the main question. Why did you decide for 30 years ago, you decided to jump into the world of entrepreneurship? What made you decide, heck, entrepreneurs for me?
You know, I think it was probably in my DNA as a child, something in my programming there. You know, obviously, you know, a lot of kids back then, you know, in the 70s and early 80s were always looking for hustles and stuff. But when the recession hit in the early 80s, my parents, both of them on the same day, came home without their jobs. And they both got laid off. They've got four kids. And so my mom started three businesses in the house. My dad went out and, you know, he was a computer programmer, and he went out and painted houses, did wallpaper, did whatever he could to, you know, feed the kids. And so just growing up in that environment, I think that probably influenced me a lot. And then they had success as they went along with that. I remember probably one moment in particular, my mother was interviewed by the New York Times for, she's starting like the bed and breakfast, like Airbnb type of thing back then. But they didn't have, you know, the internet. So they're like, hey, do you want to give people some information about this? She's like, yeah, sure. I can send them a brochure. And they're all, do you want to charge something for that? And she's like, oh, no, it's all right. He's all, why don't we just charge $1? And good idea. We ended up with like bags and bags of mail. And I'm a little kid there, and just like $1 bill after $1 bill coming in, like thousands from the New York Times. And so like we're paying groceries for the next month with $1 bills and everything, all these stacks going around. So yeah, I could, you know, I was growing up in that kind of environment, I think gave me probably the courage and the excitement of being entrepreneurial.
I love that. And I can only imagine, like, if someone brought in and paid their groceries with $1 bills today.
Yeah, it'd be a little suspect.
They question, like, what kind of job do you have? But back then, it probably was a little less suspicious and more everybody knew who you were.
I was too young even to think about that, you know, my mom making it rain at the grocery store.
I love the fact that you grew up in a very entrepreneurial household due to the unforeseen instances of losing jobs and the recession and the negativity that comes with it. And you saw the resiliency it took I would like to know, when did you start your own business and what did that look like? Because obviously, young kid, you're going through school, you know, you graduate, leave high school. I don't know if you did additional education afterwards, after high school, post-secondary, but what was it like starting your own business? Have you ever had a corporate job, or were you an entrepreneur pretty much since then?
I did have a job, and, you know, I wasn't entrepreneurial right out of college, for sure. But there was, you know, a few years there where I was working another job. But then, like, the internet came along, right? And this is the mid-90s. And I saw this marketing, and it was like, you know, the ads we see now on search. Back then, it was like pay-per-click is like the brand new thing, and a little sketchy for a lot of people, especially the SEO purists out there, where this is blasphemy. But I was like, oh, this is the next thing. So at night, after work, I came home, laptop in my bed, laid up at night, and just started building kind of my own website, teaching myself how to do all this stuff, teaching myself how to digitally market. And so, you know, over a course of time, building up this sort of business at night, to the point where I was like, yeah, I can't work my day job anymore because, you know, I'm making more than, you know, my wife made all month. So it's just like, in, you know, all year, even at some points in the year. So it just started taking off with the digital marketing stuff. It's all brand new back then. But that was absolutely that, you know, in the bed with a laptop, side hustle, working hard and just discovering things out there on the internet. And I can only imagine if we had the internet when I was growing up as a teenager, I think I would have been, you know, trying to figure out how to do something entrepreneurial online then too.
Make it rain with those dollar bills like mom did from the New York Times.
Yeah.
With that said, like, you started a side hustle before it was like people thought about side hustles. Like, side hustle's probably been maybe the last 15 years it's been in our vocabulary, or at least popularized in our vocabulary. We know 2020 made a huge increase in that, in our consciousness about that. Were other people kind of suspect, like your community around you were kind of like, what are you doing? Why start your own business, especially on the web where, you know, fraudsters are galore?
Yeah, I don't know if I had people like that in my life where it was like a, you know, those voices, like, for sure. Like, you know, my parents, again, always very encouraging, very supportive in the entrepreneurial side. Speaking of side hustle, I just remember my mom, when I was growing up, I was in her daycare at her house, but she didn't run the daycare. She had a day job too. So this was like, almost like, hey, I'm using my house as this daycare place while I'm working, and I'm hiring someone else to come run the daycare. So that was kind of like a side hustle. She's doing two things at once there. So I definitely had a lot of that, I think, encouragement and confidence around me for sure. I think that is huge for, you know, a lot of people too, is just to have someone that has your back and, you know, is very positive toward, you know, you trying something new for sure.
I love that. Having that support system in place, yeah. Especially someone, you see someone do it and become successful at it. Like you said, your mom started three businesses, you know, was doing the daycare in her house while she was working. Having that environment is so important to the success entrepreneurs have. I want to know, with that success, having that environment around you, when you finally did launch your digital marketing agency, was marketing something you always enjoyed, or it was just, you know, something that to pay the bills until you found your passion?
That's a very good question. I think, like a lot of people at first, it was this curiosity for me, like the digital marketing side. I was curious. It was all brand new back then. And it was kind of, hey, how do you crack this code, you know, online? And so that, it was kind of a puzzle in that way. And then very fortunate, I think, to have very early success doing that, to where, yeah, the cash register did start ringing, you know, a lot. And I'm just like, oh, okay, this is a little fun. But I remember going to a consciousness conference, and I was sitting there and we were talking about oneness and integral theory and all this stuff. And they're like, how are you going to apply this to your business? And at the time, you know, when I just started out my agency, I'm like, I do Google ads. I don't even know how is this going to fit in a headline? I have no freaking idea. But that question stuck with me, right? And so, yeah, over time, it's like, well, how do you apply, you know, this love, empathy, oneness to your business? And so I just kept asking that, you know, how can we do that? And so over time, that's really what led me to finding real meaning in what we're doing is, you know, how we help other people and help their lives and, you know, put their kids through college and all that and how we're in service to other people. And there was a shift in my entrepreneur journey where, you know, I was doing all that stuff, making money early on, but that was with our sites. And when that other recession came along in 2007, right, my neighbor came to me and he's like, hey, I have a business that's about to go under. Do you think you could help with me? And me with that. And I'm all, okay, let me take a look. And had like the worst website ever, you know, and I'm like,
something from 1999.
Ooh, it was bad. And I said, let's just put some ads up and see what happens. And he got like 2 sales in the first month. And I was shocked. I'm all, I don't know how those people did it, but, and this was his off season. I'm all, let's just stop everything, rebuild your site. And so we did that, rebuild it. And the site just took off like mad after that and saved his business. And so for me, this was a shift of, oh, I could do this for other people instead of just doing it for myself. And so we started that agency portion where we're helping other companies right in the middle of that recession, where some of them where it's like, you know, do or die. And so a lot of pressure, not a good time to start a business like for us, for sure. But no. It was very, very satisfying because we're out there seeing exactly how we impact people's lives with our work and, you know, changing their lives for forever, really. So that agency side of work, being in service to others, that made a big difference. And then really, it's like, okay, how can we become sort of this loving, living, organic machine of a business versus a soulless machine of a business over time? And that was really the fun part, I think, to crack, that we've been having a lot of fun with the last 7-8 years or so of my journey.
I love that. I love how an empathetic conversation and consciousness back when you were starting out is now paying you tenfold over here.
Yeah, so much so. It's hard to even understate, you know, how much so. Like, I felt that, you know, as an entrepreneur, and we've all felt that, you felt that grind, right, where you're just like, oh man, another day, and I'm just going to have to do all this, you know, ABCD of my regular job, and can't wait till the end of the day, or can't wait till Friday, you know, that kind of thing that most people feel, right? Right now, only 21% of the worldwide population of workers is engaged. That means 4 out of 5 are disengaged. It means they aren't finding it fulfilling, aren't finding it meaningful in any way. And so I've been there before, but where we really found that shift was thinking about how we're in service to others, thinking about what is our higher purpose of our work here? What's that real meaning that we're getting out of it? And once we made that little mind shift of that, everything kind of changed to where I feel energetic. I can come on a podcast and talk about building love into your business and all this, you know, all day, every day now, just because it really is, that's kind of our higher purpose that we love doing. And so It's the one thing I think that we're failing miserably as a society with is helping companies figure out a higher purpose in what they're doing. We're starting to feel around, you know, you see this conscious capitalist kind of movement. Yeah. That's understanding a little bit, but it's still, the fact is, you know, 4 out of 5 people are going to work just friggin' miserable.
Yeah.
and actively disengaged even at times.
I love it because you bringing this up, how people are disengaged in business and this and bringing love into this system, is actually a very great segue into my next question. So thank you for that. Fellow podcasters are always helpful there. But like you said, many digital entrepreneurs, they're chasing the scale. They want to grow. But again, your philosophy is building the love into scalable systems. And it takes a completely different approach because you're looking at one purpose instead of just like, hey, I want your money so I can grow. How can love and growth coexist? Because they're sometimes not the same thing. So how do you bring it about so that they can be nearly complementary to each other?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think if you look at all the data out there, it really does point to taking an empathetic approach to what you're doing is, strangely enough, often the most profitable thing to be doing. Actually, there's actually studies around all this. So, you know, it will jive with your profitability, but there is that stage of business, right? You're trying to grow your business. And this is where we were at when we came up with our Bliss concept, which is, like you said, build love into scalable systems. It's, hey, I'm growing my business. I need to start systemizing things. A lot of businesses lose their culture right at this point. They start systemizing, they start shortcutting. You know, this is where the real soulless machines starts to get made. And it's like, wait, no, let's stop. Let's make sure our system is prompting us to be more loving, you know, to be more empathetic, to be kinder. So how can we build that into a systems of our business? And so you keep asking that question, you know, like I was asking the same questions about consciousness, but you keep asking that question, how can I build love into this part of my business? And over time, little by little, suddenly it becomes a lot. And now you've got this really living organism of a business, not that soulless one that you're worried about. But it turns out too that building a loving business, you're going to have higher retention in your employees, right? That's going to be more profitable. There's all kinds of data backing that up. Study after study on that. So yeah, look it up if you're interested in that. But it also is, if you can emotionally connect with your customers, and we do that with kindness and love in our business, but if you can emotionally connect with your customers, you're going to have 306% higher lifetime value than a satisfied customer. Then that's a satisfied customer. That's over a satisfied customer. But if you're able to take that other step where you're emotionally connecting with them because, you know, you're authentic, you're loving, you're kind, and, you know, they see their values in you and your company, you're going to have that 306% higher lifetime value. And that's just, you know, that's turning that kindness. Yeah, it'll turn into profit. Those two things can align if you're being a good corporate citizen out there and you're doing all these loving things, you know, an empathetic approach to taking this empathetic approach to your business. So they don't have to be mutually exclusive, for sure.
I love it. And plus, like, if you're kind to someone, they're going to repay that kindness. Like you said,
yeah,
can end up being 360% bigger.
As a marketer, that they're repaying that kindness often by telling other people about you. And that's the holy grail of marketing, is when you're not doing the marketing, it's your customers doing the marketing for you. But the only way to get there is through that very deep kind of connection, if you can establish that with your customer.
100%. It's true. Word of mouth marketing is the most powerful form of marketing, because you already ingrained that trust from someone else saying, yeah, you should go talk with Steven because he's friggin' amazing, you know? You have a podcast, right? And before we jumped in, you said you had an internal podcast. I want to know, when did you realize like podcasting was something that can bring that value, bring that love to your potential clients?
Yeah, something that like I've wanted to do for a while. But you know, there's like, oh, that you can feel the energy, right? Like you're, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to spend this energy that I haven't spent before. And I'm sure a lot of people have that. But as you know, like once you do a few, you're like, oh,
this is easy.
Yeah, I can do this. The other thing though is, yeah, we really wanted to scale our messaging of trying to build love into what you're doing. And so that, to me, I could talk about that like all day, every day. And what we get to do with our podcast though, is we could invite CEOs on and ask them, what role does love play in their business? Podcast after podcast. Yeah. And we get some amazing answers on there for sure. And we are inviting empathetic companies on there so that you can see how you can be a compassionate company and be very successful. You know, we have massive franchise on there and you know, big and small businesses on there, but we're always asking them, you know, no matter their size, it's like, how can you build love into your business? What kind of role does it play in your business? We just get some fabulous answers on there. And so that to me is just something I think I could do for quite a while now, just showing the examples out there and kind of leading this charge that, yeah, we can talk about love in business. We can talk about compassion. It's not, love isn't a bad four-letter word to talk about in business, but it sure is treated like that.
Yeah, it is, because it seems so antiquated. It's not antiquated, but
it just seems uncomfortable for it is, a lot of people.
Because we have this idea. I think what it is because we see the stories of all these, the big name successful entrepreneurs, there's less love there. They're very cold, or they're distant, or it's a business. It's a corporation. It's a faceless monolith. And so bringing in human emotions to it is just seems odd, but I love when more people bring in that level of love. May not be work for the big corporations, but it can work for those mid-sized businesses.
I mean, it is working for big corporations too. You see like Patagonia and these other companies out there, even Costco, in a lot of ways too, they've really embraced this sort of conscious capitalist approach where they're not just thinking, Milton Friedman had talked about, the sole purpose of business is profit. And we're kind of moving beyond that to a point where, no, it's also profit, people, planet, and maybe a higher purpose if you're doing it right. Because, I mean, that's what we know is going to be the loving thing to do, is thinking about these other parts of your company in an empathetic fashion. This is where consciousness is growing and evolving to. Business is just going to follow that. So we know even big businesses, and there's a lot of examples out there like that have built this into their DNA to where they're showing that you can flourish that way. They're showing, that you can be successful as well as, have a great stock return too. I think they did it. There was a study on, and I think it was something like if you looked at them over a 15-year time period and compared it to the S&P 500, these companies were like 1,085% growth compared to the S&P at the time was like 120% during that same time. So you can absolutely, if you're a conscious company, build big, successful businesses with that in mind. And I think, you're going to find that like these younger generations are coming in looking for meaning in their work. And if your purpose of your company is, to increase
shareholder value,
yeah. Right. Oh, that's so motivating. Thank you. I so want to work here, and stick my vein up to, the corporate machine and just,
fill me up with that coffee.
Yeah. Fill me up with that coffee and I'll just, you can drain the life force out of my body. Well, for 8 hours a day.
I have two questions I want to follow up, but again, you gave me a great segue, so I have to follow with that segue. We're talking about someone's listening and they want to either create their own business that involves the compassion, alignment, build love into their system, or if they're in a business, how can I start bringing that into the corporate life? What are some advice on using the skills that we have now as individuals to build something more and build that compassion into business?
Yeah, I think, when you think about it, there's a lot of people out there who we all know that one person who's just very kind of lights up the room, who's just loving, very kind, right? And when they leave, that kindness kind of goes with them. It's, this whole thing, it's almost like the random acts of kindness, right? Where it's a good thing, we love it. But when it's gone, because it's random, it's gone. And so moving to more of systemized acts of kindness and love, now you got something that's churning when you're not there, right? This is now you're leaving your mark in some way or another. You're leaving your own legacy to where, hey, I built this into this little part of our business, of our company. This one little action, maybe we send a handwritten thank you note or something to, a client like that. That's true. We haven't done that before. Something personal like that where it's connecting, it could be just very simple like that. And then when you're gone, other people are doing that. And now you've kind of built one little bit of love into your process there. And I think you can just ask yourself that question, how can I build love into this part of my business over and over and over again? And we've done that, to the point where, like I said, little by little, little makes a lot over time when you're doing that. But it's really a way to move us from those random acts of kindness to more systemized acts of kindness. And when we're talking about consciousness growing, one of the traits of higher consciousness is this systems thinking. So we know we're going to be going there. We know it's going to be building systems with more love, with more empathy. It's just a matter of time that we do it. So will it be 5 years from now we see more companies do this, 10 years or 100 years when we're long gone? But It's going to happen. It's just inevitable that we're going to build more loving companies over time.
Yeah, I see probably, I want to say in the maybe next 25 years max, we're going to see a lot more because we have this outpour of consciousness. We see it in the news, the more consciousness, more loving out there, for support, and kind of a moving away from the world way of thinking of its individualized way of thinking.
Yeah, and our like the work that we've all done, you know, the older generations, the younger generations, our gravity pulls them up to, you know, all that work it took us a long time to get to consciously, but they get up there really rapidly, right? So that they can kind of take the baton and even push it further during the course of their life. So we're actually at this tipping point right now in consciousness where we only need like a couple more percentages of the population to be a little more empathetic, a little bit more loving, and we'll see one of those big movements in consciousness again. So I'm curious to see how that'll come about. I think with AI and stuff like that, we might be able to see a big push there. It depends on how people are going to be using AI, but I do think we're at the verge of that next little, you know, kind of 60s kind of movement where things just shift kind of dramatically.
I have to agree with you, especially on the AI front, because we're seeing people create AI, but like some people think we'll have the first billionaire AI business where it's one person running the whole business, but it's really just AI behind them. And they're just the face of it. I want to talk about your AI business because you are building empathy into AI, which is pretty much just a machine that doesn't know what empathy is. It can define it, but it can't bring it to the forefront. I want to know, when did you decide, hey, AI needs that empathy. It needs to have love in it. It needs to be looking more human, or at least provide that human touch.
Yeah, that's a good question. So like in our marketing side, we've been working with AI for, you know, over a decade, but just on like the numbers and things and machine learning and how it can optimize toward a goal. And what's scary to me is if your goal is wrong, it'll still optimize toward that wrong goal. Like if your goal is off, your conversion is off or something, it'll still optimize toward that because it's feedback. It's getting, you know, feedback. Oh, I'm doing well doing this one thing.
Pushing people away. I'm going to continue pushing people away.
Yeah. So it's just, it thinks it's doing well, right? So what's scary about that though, is if we have, like you mentioned, kind of this really powerful AI that can run all parts of business. If the thing it's optimizing toward is the sole pursuit of profit, it's going to ignore what that means for people. It's going to ignore what that means to the planet, right? It's going to ignore, you know, whatever your relationships, even with your partners and vendors are. It's just going to look for the most profitable way to do that. All kinds of damage can happen if that's the AI that we build, right? If it's just running right over people, running over our planet, this is not the AI we want that's optimizing toward that. So it's like, how can we make a more conscious capitalist type of AI that's thinking about all these things? And so that's where we started on our journey was, hey, what does it mean in marketing to kind of market toward a higher purpose or lead companies toward a higher purpose? How can AI help prompt us to be better humans and better companies at the same time? So that's really kind of the philosophy behind that. And again, going back to our build love into scalable systems, this is really just a natural sort of question on that. It's like, hey, how can we scale our methodology, our, you know, loving approach to marketing? Let's build our own chief marketing officer that is the kind of marketing officer that is asking us to do these types of marketing that are toward, you know, higher purpose and not just the usual noise and garbage that we see out there right now with, you know, the massive amount of marketing that gets done to us every day.
I love it. With everything you've done, you've obviously invested in yourself a lot. There's different ways you've invested in yourself. What is the way that you found has helped you the most to become the best version of yourself, to be this more compassionate, empathetic individual and conscious, be conscious aware of everything that you're doing so that you can bring more love into the world?
Yeah, I do think, especially as a leader, you do need to invest in yourself, in your area, because, you know, if you've got childhood trauma or all these kind of things you haven't worked through, your employees don't need to deal with your shit, right? It's like, hey, work on yourself, work on a little self-awareness of, you know, your strengths. A lot of ways that you can do that with books. careful, be careful with the AI, because AI can be a little sycophant in your ear and it'll amplify your inner demons, you know, make those even worse and your better angels. But you have to be real careful with that. It's trying to be a little yes man right now, which is not, it's not what we need a lot of times. But I think really one easy thing to do is find mentors of some type. Say a business mentor. It could be like someone who challenges you athletically, or someone who challenges you, in volunteering or some other part of your life where they're just amazing at this, but their gravity will pull you toward that. I've had mentors like that in my life where I didn't even think that was going to be possible, that I could do something like that. But, you know, this person's an ultra marathoner. I'll never do that, but shoot, I can run it. Half a marathon right now, which I would have never been able to do just because of the gravity of hanging around that person. I do love like this podcast format too, because for us, we get CEOs and consultants coming in every week. So it's almost like mentors in a way every week that you can tap into. And I
stop giving away our secret.
No, but so I do have like going on other podcast shows. They're like, you know what I love about this is I just get to talk to interesting people that influence my life every week. And no, yeah, this is a secret, but no,
it's a super secret.
It's just, but seriously, it is a way to kind of open doors that weren't there maybe for you before too, in a mentorship way. Do that. If you don't have the courage to do that, you know what you could do? Another good thing is like, have a subscription to like Blinkist or one of these book summary things. I've read like 500 book summaries in the past year, 15, 20 minutes. That kind of thing is going to impact you. And it's just like 15, 20 minutes of a book summary while you're, I'm dealing with data. I can look at numbers and also listen to something at the same time. Yeah. But that kind of thing, you'll start picking up good habits and things like that and educating yourself in a very efficient way.
I love it. Look at you teaching us how to maximize our time to become more empathetic, but also more knowledgeable in life, and giving away the secret of why I podcast.
Yeah, people, sorry.
Forget you heard that.
No, but seriously, and for us too, even if you're like a marketer, it is a really interesting way to get from, I don't know this person, to, wow, we just had a very deep, meaningful conversation in a very short time. It's like, sort of maybe the modern day going to get a cup of coffee with someone and not just talking about the weather, right? We're diving into stuff that actually matters, I think, a lot of times. So
I 100% agree. I've done over 600 interviews just on this podcast alone. And that's 600 mentors I can learn from, 600 people that have shown me a different way of being an entrepreneur. And I'm just thankful that I get to share it with everybody else, because if I didn't share this, I would have this bunch of knowledge that's not really useful to me all the time, but it allows me to learn more and share and get more entrepreneurs out there.
It would be very frustrating, because you get people on, this person just said something really brilliant. If I was just me in that coffee, having a cup of coffee with someone, that would be a little frustrating, because I'd want to tell people what somebody said.
And then you run the risk of, is that really true? Well, you go, here's the episode, listen to it. I didn't say it. It was, Stephen, who said that you need to build empathy into your businesses, and that we are coming to the end, which I hate, because I think we could probably go for another couple hours just talking about bringing empathy and business and marketing, all that, and entrepreneurship. But I have 10-year-old Stephen here. He's a delight. He just helped mom unpack another couple $1,000 of $1 bills from the mail. But I would love for you to hand back a piece of advice to 10-year-old you, anything you would feel that you would need at 10.
So I'm going to give some advice my grandfather gave me when I was probably in my early 20s, early in my entrepreneurial career. And he said, whatever you do, do it with love in your business. I inherently knew that, and it stuck with me, but I was like, okay, how do you do that? I wasn't quite sure, but it was always there. So think about that, and then think about like what we're talking about. Hey, young Stephen, build love into systems of some type, in a system that you're doing, because don't let it be random acts of kindness in your work. Figure that out. Even before you start a business, how can I make a business around some type of higher purpose, some type of loving purpose, something where I'm in service to others in a more meaningful way. Because if you're able to do that, I mean, that's going to power you, young Stephen, through, you know, years and years of that grind, right? You're not going to find it the grind anymore. You're going to be like, I can do this all day. This is fun. This is exciting. This is fulfilling for me. So, you know, it's very simple thinking about it, like just asking yourself, how can I build love into some type of system? But believe me, you know, going to all those consciousness seminars and things like that and studying, reading stacks of books for years and years and years, there's a lot behind that that goes into it. But I just wanted to simplify into some way consciously that people can grasp in, you know, a very simple, meaningful way. So young Stephen, yes, please do this. It will have saved you many years of can't waiting till the end of the day of work or can't wait till Friday kind of thing.
I love it. It's great advice for a 10-year-old all the way to 50, 60, 70-year-olds. Building love, bringing more love into what you do will outshine everything. I'm going to jump off stage. Stephen, I want you to let my audience know where they can find you, follow you, how they can listen to the podcast if they're in that area and they want to get their bosses maybe to bring more love into, or empathy at least, into the world. So the floor, sir, is yours.
Well, check us out at our agency is at zerocompany.com. Check out our AI software, the AI Chief Marketing Officer, at aicmo.io. Here we're going to help you build purpose into your business and market around that purpose. And we've got all kinds of great tools in there to help you do that. Please check out our podcast, the Bliss Business Podcast. I get to ask CEOs every week, what role does love play in your business? And we're getting some fantastic answers from that. And this was fun to be here today, talk about all this.
Stephen, I want to thank you for this awesome conversation. I truly feel that there was a lot of love in it, but you gave really heartful answers that will definitely help my audience. So I want to thank you again for that.
Thank you, Phil. It was great.
To my audience, make sure you check out the show notes down below to connect with Stephen, as well as get help with your an AI CMO so that you can bring more empathy into your marketing, as well as listen to his podcast. It's well worth it. The notes will have everything down below. I thank you so much for listening. And as always, remember to invest in yourself.
That's today's episode. Thank you for listening to the stories, tips, and the golden nuggets our guest shared. What we need you to do now is leave a 5-star review on the platform you are listening to this episode on. Always remember to invest in yourself to become the best version of yourself.